Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Johnny Cakesallville.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Jason Bishop's here as well.
Hello.
Just telling you that it's a game show Wednesday, and we're giving away Redskins Cowboys tickets.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Dallas week.
I mean, you got to do anything you can to get those ticks.
You would think.
Right? Yeah. What are we going to do? We're going to do Skin Survivor again? Are we going to do something different? What are we doing?
I think we could do Skin Survivor. Didn't last that long, if you think about it. Only went to a second round.
I think we got to make the questions tough, though. This is Skins Cowboys.
You think it's got to be
gotta
tough? I would think, based on the performance, it's got to be easier. We had a diehard Redskins fan who thought Morgan Moses was a linebacker.
Okay, well,
he won the ticket.
He's obviously not a diehard fan.
I don't know how many diehards there
are still
left.
You just can't award tickets to people who think that Morgan Moses is a linebacker.
Right.
Well,
I mean, you got to earn it.
We did award the tickets to him.
I'm just saying, that's our mistake. That's our mistake.
Trivia'd the others.
Well,
all right, we'll do it. I know we're packed with guests on the show today. Mark Packer's going to join us early. So coming up
in less than
20 minutes, we'll talk to Mark Packer from SiriusXM, college football host. He hosts Off Campus.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was listening to a little, and I learned that, you know, the four top teams right now in the AP poll, it's Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and who am I missing?
Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
Ohio State, right?
So not in that order, but...
Yes. So those are your top four teams. But what I learned is, you know, if you think, hey, these teams are going to be the college football playoff teams, they're undefeated. If you think that, you're probably mistaken based on history, because by the time you get to the college football playoff, only three teams have entered it undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
Teams will get tripped up.
Absolutely.
On paper, it won't look like they'll be tripped up. You know, Michigan could get tripped up. Michigan State, they're not undefeated. But Michigan could end up beating Ohio State. Although they never do, Jim Harbaugh.
Michigan would have to win out to get into the playoff. But, yeah, anything can happen. You're going to see these teams lose.
So, I mean, we'll get more insight from Mark Packer.
Who thought Georgia last week was going to just completely implode against LSU?
Yeah, so we'll talk to Mark Packer at 6:20 about that. Todd Reirden's going to join us first time.
Very good.
Head coach of your Washington Capitals. They're back in action tonight against the Rangers. We'll talk to him at 7:20.
I think this is his second appearance.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah, we had him on right after he was hired.
Correct.
And Scott Brooks is going to join us, head coach of the Wizards. He will join us at 8 o'clock. The NBA season kicked off last night. I have to tell you, I was all excited. And I ended up watching a lot of the Celtics 76ers game. It was so ugly.
It was just an awful game, yeah.
Well, the first quarter, I think the teams were a combined 2 for 12 from beyond the arc and shot 34% from the field. You look at Kyrie Irving's numbers. Dreadful.
He
started off 0 for 9.
Gordon Hayward wasn't much better. But in the end, the Celtics, they have a lot of depth. Jason Tatum's really good. Marcus Morris came off the bench, did well. So it was good to see the NBA, but it wasn't the prettiest quality.
I know this
Fultz didn't play well.
He was okay.
Yeah.
He was
2 for 7.
Well,
I'll just say this.
It's going to be hard for Fultz to make a big impact when Simmons is doing what he does. Because
just dominating the ball.
He just dominates the ball. Yeah. I mean, Fultz, you know, he had a nice driving layup when Simmons attracted some attention when he went in the lane, and Simmons had a nice no-look behind the head pass to Fultz, and he had a lay-in at that point. But Simmons just dominates the ball. I'm sure that they'll find a way to get Fultz more involved, but, I mean, Simmons, if this is the story again last year, if he ever learns how to shoot, I mean,
he'll be dangerous.
I mean, he's pretty deadly already with his all-around game.
15 boards.
Yeah, I mean, he's a sick all-around talent.
It seems like when they play, it's the Simmons-Embiid show.
Yeah, those guys
And then
Reddick
comes off the bench, and Reddick can drain some threes.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, again, first game. Fultz's going to have to find his way a lot in transition. He's going to have to do a lot of his damage in transition.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to watch much of that. I was watching baseball. But, yeah, I mean, first game of the year, 105-87, that's ugly. And then the second game, I didn't see any of it. Surprised you didn't watch all of it.
So your Red Sox take a lead in a long game, and then I didn't watch the Dodgers game, but it was even longer.
Yes,
there was over 9 hours of baseball yesterday. 5 hours,
5 hours and 15 minutes in the NLCS. You know, 13-inning game, and then the little side story in that game was Machado for the Dodgers. In the 10th inning, he's running down first base, and Jesus Aguiar, who is, you know, all-star first baseman for the Brewers, is just, catching a ground ball out, routine ground ball out, and Machado just kicked him. Just kicked him right in the leg. Then he acted like Aguiar was standing in the middle of the bag, which he wasn't. And then after the game, a bunch of the Brewers players were asked about the play. Christian Yelich said he's a dirty player. Craig Counsell says he doesn't play hard. I mean, it was just a big thing. You know, there was no punches thrown. Benches did clear, but there was no punches thrown. But that's just a little side story. You know, Machado does have that reputation of kind of being on the edge.
He's immature.
Remember a few years ago when he was with Baltimore, Valdez, you might remember this. I think they were playing Oakland, and he threw the bat towards the third baseman. You remember that? Remember, he swung at a pitch. He could,
yep.
And he threw the bat. He acted like he lost control of the bat, but he actually threw the bat.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
So he does have a little reputation, but last night he clearly did not need to kick Aguilar, but he did. So, but the Dodgers get the win in kind of a must-win game in 13 innings, and that series is tied.
2-2?
Yep. And Kershaw.
And the Sox are up 2-1.
Yep. I was a little surprised by that. Jackie Bradley Jr. hits a grand slam in the eighth to put that out of reach. Nate Eovaldi pitched really well. And they win that game 8-2. So they're up 2-1. Both series still playing today. I believe the Brewers-Dodgers will be your first game in L.A. at 5:05. And that's Miley against Kershaw. And then the ALCS game 4 will be again in Houston. That's 8:40 on TBS. And that'll be Porcello and Charlie Morton. So a lot of playoff baseball this week.
Well, when do you want to do Junkies Survivor for the Redskins tickets? Should we schedule that right now?
Yeah, because I think we need to prep the listeners, let them know.
How about 9 o'clock? Does that work?
Drabby,
8 o'clock hour is what Drab just told me.
Drabby has 8:20 here.
Okay, 8:20.
Yeah, let's do 8:20. Drabby, you like that?
Yeah, let's do it in prime time.
Prime time. There you go. Get those Skins tickets in the prime meat of the show.
Yeah, we'll do Skins Survivor at 8:20 for the Skins tickets.
Yeah. It is nice that we have this relationship now with the Washington Redskins, because for years we couldn't give away any Redskins tickets. For years, our Redskins beat reporter had to be outside Redskins Park doing stand-ups.
I mean, the Redskins treated us like we were lepers. Like they wanted nothing to do with us. Or the station.
Right, now they're coming in studio all the time. They're giving us ticks to give away.
Right.
Radio Insider.
It's good.
How times have changed.
Exactly. It's a good thing. It's a new era over there in the business department with the Skins. And it's good. It's positive.
Mm-hmm.
At least on our end.
Maybe we can start getting some
And what's positive
players.
Is they're still atop the NFC nice. East. And if they win on Sunday, I think it's going to be on. I think that you're going to start feeling some buzz. Not necessarily feeling it yet, and I'm sure there are going to be tons of Dallas Cowboy fans at FedEx on Sunday. But if they get a win and get to 4-2, people are going to start to get psyched.
People are going to start feeling it at 4-2 with the division win at home, if that's the case. But, again, it's can Jay Gruden and the Redskins, can they be consistent? Can they build on some success that they've had and extend their record to 4-2?
Right,
and or then they go back to 500.
Following week, they play the Giants, and the Giants will play the Falcons this week.
Right, on Monday night.
On Monday night, and you know anything can happen, but I wouldn't expect the Giants to go into Atlanta and win. So the Giants will be 1-6 when they play them. So yeah, you go 4-2 with the possibility of going 5-2. Yeah, the fans should really be excited and pumped about that. But we'll see. Would you consider the Cowboys a bad loss if they lose?
No, I think the Cowboys. We just saw them demolish Jacksonville. Are not that bad of a team. They're flawed. Like a lot of teams are flawed. And their flaws, some of them are similar to the Redskins. Don't have great wide receivers. Don't have a great passing game. You look at the Redskins, don't have great wide receivers. Don't have a great passing game. Their defense is better than it's been.
Defense is pretty good, yeah. I don't know where they rank, but they've been playing close, slow-scoring games for the most part. So.
Check the numbers on sacks. I know Lawrence was a top.
Cakes, you wouldn't consider that a bad loss,
sacks.
Would you? Just considering the rivalry, the Cowboys are 3-3.
Probably not. I mean,
they just punked Jacksonville.
Yeah. I just don't. like the Skins don't have a lot of carryover, I just don't see the Cowboys carrying over that sort of offensive performance where they're going to put up 35 or 40 against this Redskins defense. If that happens, I consider it a bad loss. If the Cowboys come in here and impose their will and are able to score more than 30 points.
And they win 31-17.
Against what looks like a pretty good defense, unless you're playing the Saints. The Skins defense has performed pretty well. If you hold the Cowboys to 24 and somehow lose like on a last-second field goal, you can kind of live with it. You can't live with the Cowboys coming in here and just boat racing you. That would be a bad look.
So DeMarcus Lawrence has 5.5 sacks. So he's one of the top sacks guys in the NFL.
Yeah, he could cause some problems. He usually does when he plays the Skins. But I think I agree with you. I don't think it would be a bad loss. But I do think they need to win the game. I do think to, you know, kind of start separating themselves from some of these other teams.
Right.
You know, I don't think they're going to run away and hide with the division, but you still have to keep pace with the Eagles. And I think that they certainly have to win the game. And then, like we said, you know, the following week they play the Giants, and the Giants could be 1-6. Now, that would be a bad loss.
Yes.
Your top Redskins sacks guy is Matt Ioannidis with 3, 34th in the NFL. That tells you the lack of pass rush that the Redskins have had. So the Redskins are going to need to protect Alex Smith because DeMarcus Lawrence and that Cowboys defense can get after you. Much improved from the last couple of seasons.
Haven't the Cowboys won the last 6 or 7 of these?
They've owned the Skins of late. I don't know the exact numbers.
I think it's like 7 of 8.
It's been pretty one-sided of late.
6 of 7 or 7 of 8, somewhere in there. Last year swept. But yeah, based on the rivalry, you just never know what's going to happen because the Cowboys with bad teams have beaten the Skins before, but, sorry. So I got it here. So last year, Dallas won both 33-19 and 38-14. In 16, Dallas won both 27-23 and 31-26.
Scored a lot of points
that
in the last 2 years against them.
The 31-26 game was the Thanksgiving night game, correct?
Okay.
2015, they split. Dallas won 19-16 and the Skins won 34-23. And then 2014, they split. So 1-2. So 6 of the last 7 have gone to Dallas.
Mm. The one thing I'll say about
Dallas. Did you
realize
it was that bad?
No. The one thing I'll say about Dallas compared to the Redskins is it seems like they know their identity more than the Redskins. Their identity is offensive line, pound the ball with Zeke, and now they are using Dak Prescott to run the football. He had over 80 yards rushing. They're not going to win via passing. The Redskins, they're still trying to figure it out offensively.
Well, they better figure it out quick. How much time they got to waste?
Well, I think we know the formula, which is run the football with Adrian Peterson, play action, use your tight ends, but it hasn't worked out effectively every other game. It's worked in 3 games, and in 2 games, not so much, where Adrian Peterson goes for 20 yards and 6 yards. You know that Zeke's going to get the ball 25 times. And you know Dak is going to run some read option and run the football. That's what he did last
year. Was it last year when Zeke came in here like in a rainstorm and all they did was just put the ball in his gut? I have to look at the box of the game at FedEx, but from my memory, if it's serving me correctly, he got like 30 carries.
And he's a workhorse.
Redskins just they had no answer for him.
All right, so we got a lot going on the show today. As we mentioned, we're giving away tickets to Redskins Dallas Sunday, 4:25 kick. We'll do that at 8:20 as we play Redskins Survivor. We also have a couple of head coaches on the show. Todd Reirden, Capitals head coach, is going to join us at 7. Look forward to that. And Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us at 8. Their season kicks off tomorrow night. But coming up next, we'll talk some college football with Mark Packer, great guest from SiriusXM College Football, hosts Off Campus. We'll talk some college football next here on The Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Got a lot going on the show today. For you listeners, giving away Redskins tickets. It's Dallas week. Giving away tickets to Skins Cowboys. We'll do that at 8:20 on a game show Wednesday. Todd Reirden, Capitals head coach, joins us at 7:20. And Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, who open up their season tomorrow, joins us at 8. So I got a lot going on, but joining us right now to talk some college football, he hosts Off Campus on Sirius XM. It's college football host Mark Packer joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Pac-Man.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello.
Pac-Man, he's a hardworking dude, man. He does the SEC show, and then that starts at 7, I believe. Then, he does Sirius in the afternoon. What do you do in between? Do you go home, get a little lunch?
He counts his chips.
Take a little nap. What do you do?
I hate to break the news to you boys, because I know I got a lot of buddies, a lot of folks from SiriusXM work in D.C., so I know what the commute's like. It's awful. Your traffic stinks.
Yeah.
My commute consists of walking down the steps to the basement to do both shows.
So you're living the dream. So, that's the dream.
So you can just do that. You can just go upstairs and make yourself a sandwich.
Well, I can do that during break. So, I hear all this horror stories from my buddies up in D.C. Pac, you don't know how bad the traffic is. So I don't want to brag too much, but I've got the greatest commute in radio. That's just the way it is.
And you don't have to pay for parking. If you park in this building, which we work in,
yeah,
it's like $230 a month.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
Well, listen, the coin you guys are making, that's junk change, man. That's falling on the floor. That's just a lunch for you guys.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You survived a couple of hurricanes, Florence and then Michael. I know you lost power down there in Charlotte. You live in Charlotte, correct?
Right.
So what happened with the shows? Did you have power at your house?
No. And that's another beautiful perk, that when hurricanes rip through your neighborhood and knock down trees, you have no power. You also have no show. So we were off Thursday and Friday. And ironically, I was leaving town to go to a wedding, of all things, in the middle of football season or the weekend up in Philadelphia. So it was the perfect getaway, but we had no power for 4 days. It was ironic because Hurricane Florence, which was the first one, just ripped through the eastern part of North Carolina, and those folks are still devastated. And we got a lot of rain and some wind, but this last one, Hurricane Michael, they thought, well, you get some showers. And I'm telling you, it was howling last week, and we really got hit hard here last week. But nevertheless, we survived, we got through it, and everything's good to go now.
Of course, Mark Packer hosts Off Campus Sirius XM, and I heard discussion about the way the college football season typically plays out. So right now, the top four teams in the AP poll, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, they're all undefeated. You think, well, that's going to be the college football playoff. But I think it was you that pointed out, well, only three times has a team entered undefeated to the college football playoff. So these teams are going to start getting tripped up.
It seems that way. And people have already started to play the what-if game. And, hey, the one thing you learn about college football, you can study it, you can figure it out, and then you watch these games Saturday and go, oh, my God, what is all of this?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you look at the four teams that are right now in the AP, and, of course, the AP poll really is irrelevant, to be honest with you. It just gives us something to talk about on the air, around the water cooler and all that stuff until 2 weeks from now when the college football playoff committee, which is really judge and jury, tells you exactly who's where and all that stuff. But with all that said, the top four teams in this week's AP poll, and I think we would all agree those are the top four teams as of today. That could all change this weekend and probably will. But when you start talking about Bama and Ohio State and Clemson and Notre Dame, you know, I asked Reese Davis this question on Monday. I said, hey, if we're going to sit here and talk about fast-forwarding the clock, do you think all four of those teams would be undefeated on December the 2nd? And I don't think anybody would say yes. I mean, I just think that, you know, the nature of the beast, at some point in time, you got to figure Bama's going to get tested. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but at least be tested. I think Ohio State's defense is certainly an issue now that you know that Nick Bosa is not coming back, and they've been kind of leaky to begin with, even though Haskins has been fantastic throwing the football. Clemson, I think, gets challenged this weekend by NC State because their weakness is their secondary. NC State's strength is Finley and their wide receivers. That should be a great matchup in Death Valley. And Notre Dame, hey, let's be honest, if they get to 12-0, I think they're in.
Oh, yeah.
But as you found out this past week, I mean, Pittsburgh pushed them to the brink. So I don't think anybody is completely safe, even though Bama is probably the best of the lot based on what you've seen. But to think that all four of those teams are going to be undefeated by the first weekend in December, I would take that bet that that would not be the case.
Absolutely. I mean, life's not that predictable, especially college football. If I would have given you Georgia plus 19 points, Mark, I think you would have put a small fortune on that game. You know,
that's why I don't gamble. That's exactly why I don't gamble. And you know, I look at the line sometimes from Vegas and go, "What do they know that I just don't see?" And it's amazing how often they are spot on with all that stuff. But, you know, listen, I thought there were two teams over the weekend that just the eyeball test, if you hadn't watched anything all year, and you just put your feet up and you watch college football on Saturday, there were two teams that really looked the part. And, again, this is a small snapshot of just a weekend. But I thought LSU punching Georgia in the eyes and just said, "Hey, listen, we're bigger, meaner, tougher, and nastier than you today, and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, we're your ranked. We're just better than you." That's what it looked like. And I thought Michigan made a statement as well Saturday night, and really a game that Jim Harbaugh had to win given his track record and, you know, struggling in the middle of the Big Ten East. But I thought Michigan and LSU, their performances Saturday gave you reason to believe that despite the fact they all have one loss, they can both be factors in the race and potentially in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I would agree. Michigan's probably going to have to win out to get into the playoff.
No doubt.
But maybe they're starting to put it together, but they still got to play, obviously, this weekend against Sparty. And then they've got to play Penn State. Now, Penn State looks like they're dying on the vine here a little bit. But that's still, you never know.
They're still great, remember?
They're great. Right, they're a great team. Franklin, I'm starting to question Franklin as a coach. Now, I know he's a great recruiter. I'm just, you know, we know about the 4th-and-5 against Ohio State. I don't know what he was talking about after that game. I mean, that rain.
No,
I don't know
me neither.
So, and then last week they just weren't prepared. But, you know, Michigan still has to play then. And then, of course, Michigan has to play in Columbus. So I think Michigan will probably lose again, but maybe they're starting to put it together.
Well, that's why we watch, right? I mean, it's just, you just never know. It's still a bunch of 19, 20, and 21-year-old guys out there running around. If their girlfriend breaks up with them or and the guys that do go to class maybe had a bad week on the grades. I mean, you just never know what you're going to get from Saturday to Saturday. And but I do think that if Michigan wins out, they're in. But, you know, that is a tough chore. And really, to be honest with you, Jim Harbaugh has not shown that he can get that done yet, even though I thought they looked terrific on Saturday. And the whole James Franklin thing, I think he is a good coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I think he's done a tremendous job. But they are not great.
No.
I mean, as I said 100 times on the show, you can't tell me that you're 4-10 against ranked teams, 3-11 against your arch rivals, and have never been to a college football playoff. And you're going to sit there and tell me that you're great?
I mean, Mark,
the closest
they were to great was 2 years ago when they won the Big Ten. Now, since then, they haven't been close to great.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, to me, you know, again, this is just a personal preference and opinion. Alabama is elite. I mean, what they're doing now is just unbelievable in terms of national championships consistency. They never lose games of note. You know, I think Ohio State and Clemson and Oklahoma have been in the great category during this college football playoff era, and that's where you draw the line. I mean, that's, you know, not everybody is great. And, you know, again, I think Franklin in due time maybe can get Penn State to that point, but as of today, there's no way you put them in that category.
We're joined by Mark Packer, Sirius XM college football host of Off Campus. Let's talk about the Terps at 4-2. Matt Canada's done a solid job in the wake of a lot of controversy, the death of Jordan McNair. First and foremost, still have to travel to Iowa. Oh, and the Spartans, Buckeyes, and Nittany Lions are all still looming on the schedule. But for him to have the Terps in just bowl contention at this point, pretty remarkable.
No question. I think he deserves a ton of credit. And it's one thing to say, "Hey, listen, we're putting your head coach to the side, and now go take it from here." But with the cloud that's been hanging over this program, given all the stuff that's happened in College Park this calendar year, I think it's remarkable the job that Maryland has done and Canada has done. And, you know, it started with that one against Texas, which all that does is look better and better and better every week of the season. We know how tough the Big Ten East is, and you mentioned the schedule that's coming up. And for this team, I'm going to be honest with you. If you had said to me, "Hey, do you think this is a bowl-eligible football team before the season?" I'd have told you there is no way, given the unrest, the cloud hanging over the head, the schedule and everything else. If Maryland gets to a bowl game, it has been a tremendous year. And I don't want people to take that as a backhanded slap. I think it's just the exact opposite. I mean, is there another program in the country that has gone through more turmoil in terms of off the field, a death of your teammate, your head coach put in the sideline, a tough schedule? I mean, it is ridiculous what an uphill climb Maryland has had. I've been incredibly impressed with the job that Canada has done.
Real quick, I want to touch on the NC State Clemson game, but with Bama, get back to them. I don't think you play Tua this week. You don't have to. You know, I know Pruitt's doing a great job. It was a great win last week, but you should handle Tennessee with Hurts, and I don't think you play him. And then you got the bye week after that, and then so you got 3 weeks of rest before the LSU game. Agreed?
It makes sense, but you know what? We're not at a practice. I don't know how injured he is. You know, Nick Saban gives you the dog and pony at the podium when he's giving you the all right and chastising everybody to dare you to write something good or bad about his team. He sees those guys every day. I don't know the severity of the knee injury. I do think you could roll Hurts out there this weekend and beat Tennessee by whatever you wanted to beat him by. And I know it's the third Saturday in October, and Tennessee finally won the FCC game for the first time in 2 years, and they're going to have 110,000. They're going to be excited. But, man, come on, what are we talking about? I think you could go with Hurts and give Tua basically 2.5 weeks off. But, again, I don't know the severity of the knee injury. But it could be a scenario of, hey, better safe than sorry. But I'm with you. I think they beat Tennessee with Hurts back there and going about their business and end of story.
All right, so let's touch on – you're down there in Wolfpack country. Let's touch on this game. NC State's playing at Clemson, 3:30 game, yep, on ESPN. This is for the outright lead in the Atlantic and the ACC. This will be the biggest game that Trevor Lawrence has played. And I know he played in the A&M game, but he didn't start that game, I don't believe. I think Kelly Bryant started.
No, he didn't.
So this will be the biggest game, biggest stage he's played, you know, since it's for the lead in the division. Can NC State go in there and beat Clemson? Is that possible?
Yes. Yes. Is that possible? Yes. And here's how that's possible. First of all, the best quarterback in the ACC is Ryan Finley. He is a Sunday dude. He is big. He's got the arm. He got every pass. On top of that, he's got a terrific offensive line and tremendous wide receivers. Clemson's only weakness, I think, of their whole football team is their secondary. So you talk about a quarterback that still should be upright, even though Clemson's defensive front is out of sight. They are the least sacked team in terms of the Power Five of any team. That's NC State. So their offensive line doing a great job. Finley is a big-time Sunday guy. Great wide receivers. They've got to maximize in the red zone. They got to make big plays. They played Clemson to the hilt the last 2 years. Should have won probably 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In Death Valley last year was a great game, 38-31. Could have gone either way. Clemson's favorite should be. The crowd is incredible. They will be juiced. They'll be ready to rock and roll. They've got better personnel. But can NC State win the game? Absolutely they can.
Now, if I had to put cash on it, we just talked about it, I would definitely take Clemson. Now, I wouldn't lay 17, but I think they'll win the game. But just looking at the schedule, I mean, NC State's got Syracuse on the road. They've got Louisville on the road. They've got Carolina on the road. And they've got Florida State, Wake, and ECU at home. All right, all winnable games. Now, they would have to play in the ACC championship game against Tech or, you know, Miami, whoever. Do you think the committee would put NC State in as one of their top four if they ran the table?
You know what? I think that's going to sound crazy. First of all, it's hard to answer that because you don't know what the other conferences are doing.
True.
If you're going to give me NC State, you know, they lose a data point when the West Virginia game got canceled. And that's unfortunate because Hurricane Florence hit the week that West Virginia was supposed to play at NC State. Would have been a great game to watch with Will Grier and all their frisbee catching dogs and Finley and his guys. It would have been a great, great game. So they lose that data point. So now that is a big deal. And I know Notre Dame fans scream, hey, if we are 12-0, we don't need a 13th data point. Well, that's right. But you know what? If you're 11-1, you want that 13th data point because it's now compared to all the other conference championship games. I don't think NC State can run the table and win the ACC championship and be 12-0 without help of somewhere else, because if Notre Dame gets to 12-0, they're taking somebody's spot. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're talking about the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12. They're grabbing a spot. So that it's kind of hard to answer that question without knowing the lay of the land across the board. But I think NC State would need help even if they ran the table because of the loss of the 13th data point. And it's the West Virginia game, which would have been their most important game this side of the game this weekend against Clemson.
I would agree with that. And here's another thing to think about. I mean, if Bama runs the table until the SEC title game, right? So they blow out everybody, and then Georgia beats them by three in Atlanta. I could see them taking both those teams. All right, they're still going to consider Bama a top four, and then you got Notre Dame, Georgia, Bama. So that's one spot for the Pac-12, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Big 10.
Let me tell you something. I think
that'll
it's
be crazy.
Well, it's bizarre, right? I mean, we're already behind the eight ball before we ever start the season, because when you have five Power Five leagues and we only got four spots, we have an issue before we ever get started. And then you throw in, hey, this is the year Notre Dame goes 12-0. So really, they almost act like they're separate league. So you're talking about six leagues for four spots.
Right.
And it will not if the Big Ten is sitting on the couch again, and Jim Delaney is as smart and as brilliant as they come, if he's sitting on the couch again, as good as their league is, he's going to look around and make a phone call and say, boys, we need to have a meeting, because this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I can't have Ohio States and Michigans and Penn States and Sparties and Iowas and Wisconsins, as good as they are in the top 20, and you're telling me for the second year in a row I'm sitting on the couch watching everybody have a party? No way. I mean, I think it's inevitable that it goes to eight. But, you know, it's like I always say, nothing gets done until something gets sold. Somebody's going to have to write the check for that to happen. But, you could have a crazy scenario. You know, there's no guarantee that Georgia is going to the SEC East now that they lost.
You're right.
You know, they got Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party next week. They still got to go to Kentucky. I mean, you could literally have an SEC championship of LSU versus Kentucky. And that's not even a reach. That could very well happen.
Well, the winner of that game is going to the yeah. playoff. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey. I mean, who knows how this plays out? That's why, you know, you sit there on Saturdays and just smile and laugh, because it's going to be a crazy wild run, no doubt.
Can Michigan State beat Michigan?
Sure. They beat them 8 out of the last 10. I mean, I didn't think Sparty was going to beat Penn State. And, sure, I'm sitting there watching Mark D'Antonio do his dog and pony. And, you know, I think he's kind of living rent-free and Harbaugh's head a little bit. I think Michigan's got better personnel. If Michigan plays like they did Saturday, man, I love their team, the way they're playing. But can they win at home? Absolutely they can.
By the way, Rutgers needs to get out of the Big Ten. They got no business.
They really need to get out of the football bowl subdivision. I mean, that performance last week with 8 yards passing, 2 of 17, 5 interceptions. I mean, that's almost hard to do if you said, listen, guys, here's the game plan. Let's suck so bad that we could only throw 2 completions. It's hard to do what they did last week. That's bizarre.
Incredible.
They stink.
Pac-Man, go get ready for your show, buddy. Always a
pleasure
to talk to you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Yep, yeah, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, we'll see you.
See ya.
It's Mark Packer from SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Hosts Off Campus. Good he's stuff. Excellent.
Yeah, he's great. Love having him on the show.
Jelly of his commute. Jelly just gets to walk down into his basement, crack the mic.
Can we work on that?
I would love for that to happen.
Probably won't.
You never know. You never know what the future holds.
Let's just demand
probably
it.
Probably not.
Let's just demand it.
It's not going to happen. We just had a long conversation with our agent yesterday.
Yeah,
probably too long. You missed out on it. Cakes, was it too long?
It was kind of long, but it's okay. It's always going to get a state of affairs.
I gave Jason the bullet points. It's like, that could have been covered in probably 2 minutes.
3 minutes, yeah.
And I think I was on the phone for 40 minutes.
All right, well, I'll talk to him today, and I can promise you I will not be on the phone for 40 minutes.
No.
You know, sometimes I just hang up on people who are just talking to, like, long-winded people.
Right.
And I just hang up, and then I text them, say, oh, sorry, lost connection.
Well, the other thing that didn't help, and I'm not blaming Cakes because I did the same thing, is that he struggles with the conference call technology. So what happens is...
Who, I do?
Well, our agent.
Our agent, okay.
So
yeah,
agent
yeah.
calls, finds out that Eric and I can do the call. You said that you were busy, couldn't do the call. And
yeah,
Cakes
had something going on.
Ultimately jumped on, but what happens is he starts the call. I talk to him. It hangs up on me. Then I call back, and now Eric and I are on, but he's started telling Eric some information that he's got to now tell
both of us.
Yeah, he's got to recap.
And then he's going through stuff for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then Cakes jumps on.
Yeah.
And he continues, but then he goes back and says, well, John, what you missed when I was talking to Eric and I don't know when to jump off.
Yeah.
And I even tried yesterday. I was like, you know what? I got to go. But I was really just doing stuff around the house because I was trying to give him a cue to, like, let's end this. Kind of like when you used to do in meetings saying no small talk.
Yeah.
Because it just goes.
And someone would always bring up something stupid. There was always small talk. And then in the no small talk meetings, there was always small talk.
Sure, right. Of course.
But, I was busy. It was called game 3 of the ALCS.
Yes.
All right. Remember, Todd Reirden's going to join us. Capitals head coach at 7:20. Scott Brooks, Wizards head coach at 8. And at 8:20, your chance to win Redskins tickets. It's Dallas week. We'll give away tickets with Redskins Survivor coming up at 8:20. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Want to let everybody know, giving away Redskins Cowboys tickets on the show today. 8:20 we'll play Redskins Survivor. But if you can't go to the game, Cakes and I are going to be out and about once again.
We are.
Doing the Sports Junkies pregame show. We're at Glory Days Grill in Centerville this Sunday. Starting at 2 o'clock, leading up to the 4:25 kick. Great place to watch all the games because they have tons of TVs. Great place to have food because
Absolutely.
They have tons of that.
They certainly do. It's very
and
good.
You can hang out with us in Centerville. So if you want more details, go to thefandc.com/events. But Sports Junkies pregame show is in Centerville. And begin a lot of tweets at Junks Radio. Hey, are you coming to the Glory Days Grill? Fill in the blank. And chances are, yes, we will let you know each and every week where we will be.
Yes.
But we're at a different location each week.
Correct. We're out and about. We're moving around. Hitting all the spots.
We've been to two so far, right?
Two so far, yes.
Fairfax and Manassas.
That is correct.
Now we're hitting Centerville, and not all of them are in Virginia. A lot of them are in Virginia. I've seen the schedule. They don't even have the schedule for December yet or some of the later games. But we do have a schedule for the next four or five. And we do hit Maryland at some point. But just kind of stay tuned. We want you to listen each and every week. And if you're around the Centerville area, stop by, say hello.
I can say with confidence, though, we will not be hitting the Glory Days Grill in Tampa. That's not going to happen.
Yes.
We're sticking to the Mid-Atlantic.
Now, this week's game is at 4:25, correct?
That is correct.
So you'll be doing the show from 2 to 4:25?
Yes.
Or 2 to 4?
Like 2 to 4:20-ish, something like that.
All right, a little bonus junk.
Some bonus junks.
A little bonus pregame.
Get some bonus junks
you know
pregame.
You love that.
You know what that means? Just more in-game updates.
That's true.
Because you have all
fantasy updates.
Yeah, line
movements.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's hard.
Right. It's not hard.
Yeah, come on.
Track the line movements in the 4 o'clock games.
That's a possibility. You never know.
Yeah, just talk fantasy and gambling for the last 20 minutes.
Could do that.
That's good enough for me.
All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page. Fill us in on what's going on. I know you touched on the baseball at the top of the hour.
Well, we'll touch on it again. There were two games yesterday. Game 3 in the ALCS in Houston at Minute Maid. And then, of course, game 4 in L.A., Brewers-Dodgers. All right, the first game started at about 5:09.
Yep.
Red Sox win that 8-2.
Baseball Cakes tuned in at the bottom of the ninth with two outs.
Ooh, really?
You caught
yes,
an out.
I caught the last out.
What was that, about 9 o'clock?
Somewhere around there, yes.
I tuned into some in the seventh inning.
Yes.
Before the Jackie Bradley home run.
I was too
run.
Busy watching Celtics and Sixers throw up a bunch of bricks.
So
it was ugly.
I had the Astros as the best bet yesterday. Mm-hmm. All right, so that obviously loses. I thought
that
was... You
just can't get to 500.
You can't. I'm just going to work my way up. Valdez, did you play the Red Sox? Because if you did, you had plus money there.
I forgot.
He's lost his zeal.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
All right.
His fading passion.
Hold on, you didn't
has
get
dwindled.
Our bet. The
yes,
bet
our
consortium.
Bet.
I know. And you would have
I missed the last two bets.
Oh, this is drab. What's going on here?
It's time for us to punch out.
Is it really?
I think it was plus 120. You would have made a little cash on it.
I mean, he's supposed to be our captain. We're supposed to rely on him.
I'm sorry.
You guys
my
are
mind.
Allowed to put in the wagers.
Yeah, you guys can.
Why do you put it all on him?
Hold on.
Because he's the king of
gambling. Because it was my idea.
Yeah, it's his baby.
He can't forget to put the bet in.
We're just along for the ride.
We could have done it ourselves.
Well, maybe you got to text him to remind him.
Why don't you just put the bet in at 10 a.m.? Because
well, you know what? They obviously
he gives
aren't thinking
you the
about
best
it.
Bet
they, are, they aren't thinking about it because you have all day
yep.
and all pretty much all night to think mm-hmm. about it. And you're at 9:45 when I give it. It's not like you say, put it in right then.
But that's
you
when they should.
I know. They never tell him that.
It should be in real time. And the second it's off your lips, that bet should be input. That might have to be the new standard going forward.
But what I'd say is that you guys are putting it all on Valdez to do all the work.
Yes. That's the way this is working. He's the
ringleader.
Is he
getting big?
No, I guess
he's
probably
not.
Should. He's getting some. Not,
thanks, GP.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Know what I mean? If I was in business with three friends, and you have a four-partner business right now. Your
I wouldn't call it a business.
Well, your business is benefiting on Jason's bad bets. Although, when he's hitting his bets, you guys are losing money. But if I had a business, and I was doing all the work?
Yeah.
Why would I be sharing the profits?
He volunteered to do the work. It's not like we had to battle about it.
All right, forget it. I forget I even brought it up. So we'll see what happens today. I'm probably going to go back to Houston on the best bet tonight, so you might want to put the Red Sox in.
Who's on the mound tonight?
It's going to be Morton against Porcello.
Are you actually going traditional, right? Because I think the Brewers, they're doing a lot of bullpenning, aren't they?
Well, not really. Gio started yesterday. Now, Gio got hurt. He rolled his ankle, so they had to go to the bullpen in the second inning. And the Dodgers went to, I think the Dodgers used everybody in their bullpen last night. But that was a 13-inning game. Valdez, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, are you really think the Astros are going to win, or are you just hedging yourself?
I think because
you're doing back to back bet against your Red Sox bets.
I know, but Valdez, Houston's 10-2 at home in the playoffs in the last 2 years. 10-2, 10-1 before last night. I thought it was a good bet. I don't think that they'll lose every game at home in the series, so I'm going to go back to them. Play the Red Sox. I'll be happy either way. Obviously. Hey, all right. So in the second game, first of all, in the first game, Jackie Bradley Jr. hit a grand slam in the eighth to put that out of reach.
But they're already up 3-2.
Final score 8-2. Bradley had the huge bases clearing double in the Yankee series, so he's been coming up big with big hits in the postseason. Didn't have a great regular season, but he's coming up big in the post. In the second game, Brewers Dodgers. We talked about the little side story. Dodgers win 2-1 in 13, but Machado kicked Jesus Aguilar, the first baseman of the Brewers, on just a routine ground ball, and then he acted like Aguilar's foot was in the middle of the bag. It wasn't. That's just Machado.
So he just stuck out his leg.
It's just being Machado. Machado being Machado. So, do you have any of the audio from post game? Because some of the Brewers players were pissed. I think Yelich called him a dirty player. Just play me what you got.
We've all grounded out. You know, run through the bag like you've been doing your whole life, like everybody else does. You know, if it's an accident, it's an accident. But from the replay to us, it clearly looks like, you know, you go out of your way to step on someone, run into somebody. It just has no place in the game. It really doesn't.
I think he's got a point.
I play baseball. I go out there, I try to win for my team. So if that's their comments, those are their comments. So, you know, I can't do nothing about that.
Why did you collide with Aguilar there?
Why? Yeah. I mean, you saw the replay probably, so his foot was in a bag, trying to get over him, hit his foot. That's dirty. I mean, I don't know. Call it what you want.
Did you see the play?
I didn't.
All right, you watch the play and tell me if he was just trying to step on the bag.
I'm not surprised. I will say this. From what I've heard, Machado is one of the few Dodgers who's actually hitting.
True. Bellinger had the big hit, but it doesn't matter. You can't just kick a guy.
And then claim
that his foot was in the middle of the bag. I mean, that's
he also stupid. Had a home run this in the playoffs where he had like a 29-second trot around the bases.
That's true. Manny's all about himself, you know, most of the time.
He's going to get a big fat contract from somebody,
So two more games today, 5:05 Brewers-Dodgers and 8:39 Red Sox-Astros. NLCS is on Fox Sports 1. ALCS is on TBS. Quickly, a couple NBA games. The NBA season started last night. You had the Celtics beating Philly 105-87. Tatum had 23. Philly did not shoot the ball very well. And then in the late game, Golden State beats OKC. No Westbrook for OKC. 108-100 is the final. Tonight, 11 games. 11.
Ooh, that's a bonanza.
Valdez, you don't want me to pick the Houston-Boston game as the best bet?
Well, you can if you want, but the problem is I just think you're hedging yourself.
I told you yesterday, it's small emotional hedge. Small.
I think it's bigger than small.
But I do believe that Houston is good enough to win at home in the playoffs. So I might take them again tonight.
Hey, why don't you give me a silly bet?
But it shouldn't matter to you.
Give me a silly bet for Saturday night college football when I go to the one and only sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. I'll be at the casino around 5 o'clock.
So you mean the Saturday night game. All right, let me look at
this. I'll head over to the sportsbook before I sit down at the final cut.
I'll give you one.
I have to look at the spots out there.
Let me look at the times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to the Caliendo show.
Yep.
And I'm going to dinner before the Caliendo show. But I could sneak in a bet, a wager.
I like that you're gonna have a sweat during the Frank Caliendo show. I like it.
Yeah, why not?
I like that.
Give me a silly Saturday night play.
I'll give you one right now. Central Florida to just blow out ECU. I think they're giving 21 in the game. I think they crush East Carolina.
So you're telling him money line or just cover?
No. It's a cover. The money line is too big.
Take UCF.
I don't even know if there'll be a money line. UCF over ECU.
Well, they just had a squeaker.
They did. I was on the road against Memphis. Much better team. ECU's defense is terrible. Central Florida is going to be a little bit pissed off. I like Central Florida to just destroy ECU.
All right, I'm in. I mean, I will
be in.
That's
a 7 o'clock game, so you should be fine.
Put 500 on it. Go big.
I'll put a bill.
That works, too.
And then Caps tonight hosting the Rangers, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Rangers won and played last night. I love getting teams on the back end of a back-to-back. And
remember, we're going to talk to Caps head coach.
That could be a best bet there.
Could be.
Remember, we're going to talk to Caps head coach Todd Reirden at 7:20. Scott Brooks, your head coach of the Wizards at 8 o'clock. All right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.